Good morning. Well, no, almost good afternoon. Not quite. One more minute.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Depends on which clock you're looking at. Welcome. The next case on our calendar today is A24-1182, the complaint decision file 24-170C on behalf of LLB from Delano School District. As you know, you'll each have 15 minutes for your primary argument. Counsel for a relator will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal, but as you also know, we may have some more questions that go beyond that time. So you can proceed when you're ready. Please introduce yourself and the party you represent.
Well, thank you and good morning. My name is Mick Waldsberger, and I'm an attorney with the firm of Squires Waldsberger Mace. I represent Independent School District number 879, which is the Delano Public School District. And appearing with me as counsel today is Craig Hardy at counsel table. I'm going to start in a different way. My first argument is that the MDE's decision is arbitrary and capricious because it abandoned its prior application of NDS without any reasoned analysis. I heard counsel say in the previous case that the MDE did not apply NDS. I find that to be remarkable and inaccurate because we have a 2019 complaint decision, decision 19-032C, in which it was clearly applied. I heard a statement from counsel in the prior case that that case was distinct and already had due process going. That's also inaccurate. I heard a statement that there was a request for an IEE that was made for the purposes of negotiating, but the parents never dropped the request for an IEE in that case. And then finally, I heard some effort to distinguish NDS on the ground that NDS went through a hearing. That's not true. NDS, there was a request for a due process hearing, but the hearing officer summarily dismissed the case based upon summary disposition. The MDE did not in its decision give any reason for departing from its prior application of NDS. And its 2019 decision applying NDS significantly undercuts its main argument in this case.
So what's the remedy if we would decide it based on the arbitrary and capricious standard?
I think it's got to be reversed, Your Honor.
But then is it a reverse and remand back to the agency to explain whether or why to depart from that previous decision? I mean, it seems to me like once you're going down the arbitrary and capricious route, we're not going to reach the legal issue. We would instead be sending it back to the agency for them to assess whether or not, or to give us an explanation for why they're not following their prior decision. Isn't that what sort of the PolyMed case and that line of cases would say you have to do?
Yeah, I think with the compounded number of errors in this case, I would say that's not accurate, that I would expect reversal, particularly, and I'm going to talk about some of the investigation issues that are lacking here. And I know sometimes the Court of Appeals says, well, you know, the MDE's authority to investigate. I want to talk about that in a little more detail because that really does tie these things together and make it such a problem case that I think it automatic reversal is required. In this particular case, again, the main argument of the MDE is you've got one of two responses. You either pay for the IEE or you get to defend your old evaluation. There's nothing else. That's the rigid application. But of course, the MDE didn't do that in 2019. They applied a third approach and said, whether you take it as, well, they're trying to use it as bargaining chip. There's nothing in the statute that says we get to use that in that kind of situation. And the MDE's approach of that rigid application would produce many absurd results. First of all,
Counselor, can I just clarify, is your point in responding to the argument that it's that there's unique facts, I think that's one of the points made by respondent MDE, is your point in what you just said that the regulation obviously is the same and those unique facts are also not provided for in the regulation for a third option?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
And so that's why school districts relied on that analysis, which was citing to the NDS case.
Exactly right. Not only NDS, but the MDE's application of NDS in a case that's so really on all fours with the one we have here.
The 2019 case, though, the MDE found that parent was using the IE as a bargaining chip. I don't think we have that factual scenario here.
Why not?
Or you disagree?
Let me ask why not, Judge?
Well,
let me come back and explain and give my answer.
I'm
if that's
asking
okay.
the questions yeah, here, no. so I don't think I need to give
no.
you an answer.
No, I didn't mean that disrespectfully. I meant it rhetorically that why not? We didn't hear because there is no investigation done. We have a lengthy letter from the parents when they make this request for an IEE. It's really small type, single space, 2 pages long. The entire letter is about the fact that they are upset that the principal issued a no trespass order to this child for after hours at school because he damaged a sink and did some other damage. And the very last line, one little sentence is, and we request an IEE. Was there any investigation by the MDE into whether that was used as a bargaining chip? Did they talk to anybody? They did not. The record is clear. They made 2 phone calls here. They made a phone call acknowledging that they received materials from the parent, and they made a phone call to the director of special education acknowledging information and making another statement as well. But nothing of investigation whatsoever happened here. We don't have investigation into whether there was actually disagreement. We don't have investigation into why they disagreed. Nothing would preclude the MDE from asking the family, well, do you actually disagree? And if so, why? With what part of the evaluation do you disagree? Nothing in the record that talks about that.
Well, and isn't that perhaps one plain reading of Subdivision B is when the open question is whether or not there's a disagreement or not, and parents submits the question to MDE, then it's MDE's responsibility to determine whether or not there's an actual disagreement, given that Subdivision B2 only allows the district to file a due process complaint with regard to whether the evaluation is appropriate. It doesn't allow the school district to file a due process complaint with respect to whether there's actually disagreement.
Absolutely true. I could not agree more. I mean, we don't have the ability to go and request a hearing and say, Judge, there's not a disagreement here. That's not one of the 2 options according to the MDE. We don't have the ability to go in front of a judge and say, Judge, the statute of limitations applies here. Because again, according to the MDE, we have 2 options. We defend our evaluation that's more than 2 years old, or we pay for the IEE. That's a hyper-rigid application that makes no sense and produces very significant absurd results. Also, the MDE...
go ahead.
My question was going to be, I know that there's a regulation about the school district not being able to ask the parents for the reasons why they disagree. And my question was going to be whether there are similar limitations on MDE or whether MDE does have more authority to investigate that question.
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. The MDE does have that authority to ask the question. And in fact, in NDS, the court specifically addressed that in a footnote that the agency, the MDE, has the authority, as does a court, to inquire into, do you actually disagree? And if so, with what and why? They didn't do that here. But they have no similar limitation like a school district that, you know, the law clearly precludes the district from requiring them to provide a reason why. So the MDE could have done that, but chose not to do it. And there's a lot of kind of discussion here about, well, the rights of the parents, and we're not trying to take anything away from the parents. Parents have rights, including the right to request a reevaluation. And if that doesn't work out, the right to request an IEE. But
and here, and there may be some dispute on that, but if I understand your position, the record indicates that the district agree with the parents that a new comprehensive evaluation should take place because changes had occurred.
Exactly right.
And so it offered that, and then that was rejected, and instead the request for an IEE without a reevaluation.
Yes, and not only did the district offer to do a comprehensive reevaluation, the district offered to do it in an expedited manner. So in less than 30 days, the parents would have had the benefit of that. Maybe they would have thought, hey, this is the best thing ever. Maybe it would have rebuilt trust. Maybe they would have said, no, we still want an IEE that to counter your expertise, school district. We want our own person to be able to come in and counter that natural advantage you have that the U.S. Supreme Court speaks of. But we would have known that within 30 days, and we would have all had the benefit of current information. It makes no sense to have an evaluation more than 2 years old that doesn't reflect current needs, and then have a new person come in. They're not tied to that evaluation if they're looking at current needs, but then to have them do an evaluation based on the old needs, that doesn't make sense either. And that's why the court in NDS said, hey, we are unmooring an IEE from its purpose when we wait a long time like this and we don't go through the reevaluation process first. What the parents are actually asking for when they wait a long period of time, they're not asking for an IEE. They're asking for a new evaluation, a reevaluation. And the district has that right to do it first.
Argument for us, if I recall in your brief, to that point, and I'll call it a third option since we're into, I think dichotomous is what you used. I don't know if there's a trichotomous or what it would be, but that the statute, the federal statute, and it's mirrored in the Minnesota statute, obligates the school district to do the evaluation and or reevaluation of the child's needs. And so temporally, at least, if I understand the argument, that always comes first before an IEE. And so here, your point being the school district was consistent with in suggesting we do a reevaluation because there's a change of circumstances so that you can then ask for an IEE after you get the reevaluation. And that would be how you would read the CFR consistent with the authorizing federal statute.
Absolutely. And consistent with all the case law interpreting the purpose of an IEE. And, you know, we have that Supreme Court case that talks about the purpose. So we don't have to guess at it. You know, in Schaefer versus Wiest, the court said the purpose is to make sure that we have parents have an expert who can evaluate the materials the school district used and makes available and to counter the natural advantage the school district has. If we all agree that an evaluation is outdated and we need to do a reevaluation, that purpose doesn't exist anymore. There's no reason for that. We're sitting here saying we're trying to work collaboratively, cooperatively with you, which is at the core of IDEA.
But
instead of saying unilaterally give us the information.
The parent has a right under the rules to request an IEE if they disagree with the evaluation that prior to a reevaluation.
I'm sorry, if they disagree with an evaluation.
If there hasn't been a reevaluation, there's just one evaluation, the parent has the right to request an IEE.
Yeah, certainly.
The district doesn't get to say, no, you don't get to request an IEE. We're going to force you to do a reevaluation.
Within a reasonable period of time, yes. I think under NDS we can say if a reasonable period of time.
But there isn't when you say a reasonable period of time, what are you suggesting?
Well, certainly when all parties agree that the child's needs have changed, that would say a reevaluation first. And there's ample evidence in the record that that's the case here. Also, we have a 2-year statute of limitations.
Well, I guess just to. My question is this: why, the parents wouldn't be without recourse under your interpretation, because I think that what I understand your argument to be, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that if the district says we are not going to do an IEE because we don't think that you have a disagreement with the prior assessment, that would be done by a prior written notice that then the parent could challenge to MDE, which would then give MDE the ability to investigate whether or not there's actually a disagreement with respect to the past evaluation, or if what's really being contested is whether a reevaluation needs to happen, and that MDE would be in a position where it could actually obtain that information, which the district is not in a position where it could obtain that information.
That's correct. And of course, parents can always request a special education due process hearing too. And if they are right, there's a fee shifting provision and they get all their attorney's fees, whereas school districts don't have the benefit of that. So a district is not going to gamble on a close case, in my opinion. I'm certainly not going to advise a district to do that. And back to my statute of limitations, when you're more than 2 years out, I don't think that's a gamble. The Office of Special Education Programs, let us not forget, oversees the MDE. The MDE doesn't get to just say, you know what, we're not going to follow your guidance. The OSEP, the Office of Special Education Programs, has said that there's not a need to request a hearing when more than 2 years have passed. The MDE cites that in its decision and then makes no effort to apply it whatsoever. It
so
also cites other case law to that effect in its decision.
What about the federal DS case addressing the statute of limitations, which holds that the 2-year statute of limitations doesn't apply to a request for an IEE?
For some reason, I am drawing a blank on DS. I'll come back to that when I come back.
975, Fed Third, 152, page 159.
The turn Trumbull case.
Oh, the Trumbull case. I'm sorry. Trumbull, yes. Thank you for bringing that. So I think Trumbull is clearly an error. When you look at the plain language of IDEA, there is no carve out for an IEE. And where Trumbull comes up with that, they make it just pull it out of thin air to say, hey, we're going to say, because we're going to tether it to the evaluation cycle, a 3-year cycle. Nothing in IDEA says that. Every case in the Eighth Circuit has applied and strictly a 2-year statute of limitations. And when the Eighth Circuit does it, they don't go back and look at discovery rules. They look at what date did you file your complaint on, and did the event, the action, happen within 2 years prior to that? And if not, the statute of limitations bars it. That is clearly what is the case here. There's no dispute when the evaluation was completed.
Schiltz have a somewhat more nuanced reading of that in the, is it NDS?
Yes.
Case, in terms of that there might also be sort of a known, that you didn't know of it in some period of time, and so you might be able to request an IEE outside of the 2 years, but you would need to develop the record as to when you learned of that. As in, the parents would have to say, I learned of this at XYZ date. Why isn't that the more appropriate rule, given your reliance on NDS for a lot of other propositions?
And a fair question. I do rely on NDS for the other propositions. And I think, just simply stated, that part of NDS is inconsistent with the Eighth Circuit precedent applying a 2-year statute of limitations. But let's say that that applied. Let's say that that provision of NDS is correct. What would that mean we would have needed to do here? We would have needed to have investigation from the MDE on when the parents knew. Do we have anything in the record of that? No, nothing whatsoever. There's no investigation to dig into that critical fact if you're going to apply NDS in that manner.
Counsel, this maybe follows from Judge Larson's earlier question about your different issues and what the remedy might be. Normally, we would, at least I think we generally would, consider a statute of limitations issue first, because then we don't get to anything else. But the downside, all the parties are seeking some clarity from us. And so, do you have any response to that or comment in terms of how we consider the issues? It's not your first issue, I noticed, and maybe it's the third or fourth, I can't remember. Is that why you put it down lower? You want us to consider the merits, unless we disagree with you, then jump down to statute of limitations?
Yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't say I would love to have clarity in the law in this area, but I also do acknowledge that the court's mandate is to not issue decisions on areas of law that aren't required. And so if the statute of limitations, and we certainly agree that and believe that that is an appropriate basis for dismissal, then I would have to acknowledge that the court would not need to wade into the other areas, despite my sincere interest in having clarity in the law.
How do you respond to MDE's argument that it wasn't for the school district to decide the statute of limitations issue? And if that wasn't for the school district to determine, how would that issue get properly teed up before MDE?
Great question. I mean, if it's not for the school district to decide, the MDE suggests that we're acting in the cloak of authority of the court or administrative law judge. The problem is that, again, under the hyper-technical reading of the regulations, we wouldn't have the authority to ask a judge to just, what do we file an action and then ask the judge to dismiss our own action? So we're asking for an advisory opinion from the judge? That doesn't make any sense. And so we rely on the letter from OSEP, which says that we are not obligated to request a hearing. And there are other authorities that we cited. We cited two federal district court decisions from other jurisdictions that also stand for that same proposition, that we are not obligated to request a hearing when it's on the statute of limitations. Does that mean that the parents are without recourse? Absolutely not. They can always file free of charge a complaint with the MDE, and the MDE should do its investigation and look into the statute of limitations. The other approach is they can always request a
because
special education due process hearing.
Is the way that they would do that, I just want to understand, is the way that they would do that is because the school district would say in a prior written notice, your request is outside of the statute of limitations, and then that would trigger CFR section 300.507. Is that your?
Yes, and that's exactly what we did in this case. Yeah. As part of our prior written notice, we did provide that information to them.
Sorry. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I procedurally understood you.
Well, I greatly appreciate your time. Thank you.
You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Good afternoon. I'm Martha Cassily. I'm the Assistant Attorney General for the Minnesota, for the respondent Minnesota Department of Education. Here, the realtor wants us to overlook the plain text of the federal regulation, and it seeks to empower school districts to have the authority as administrative law judge to decide on the merits whether or not parents are entitled to a publicly funded IEE.
Well, it seems to me like at a minimum, they would like MDE to explain why it's doing something different than it did in the 19-032C case. And why isn't the appropriate remedy in this case reverse and remand to the agency to explain why it has departed from its prior norms and procedures?
There is no departure here, Your Honor. The prior MDE complaint decision issued in 2019 has no application to this case because the underlying facts are different. Both decisions mention cite NDS. Both decisions cite the NDS. But the underlying facts of the two state complaint decisions are different.
But doesn't that suggest then facts make a difference, not just the plain reading of the code we've all been focusing on that gives the two options? Because obviously in that case, the principle the Department of Education applied was, despite the clear, plain reading of two options, by these facts, you have a third option.
In the 2019 case, if you take a look federal regulation, if you look at the federal regulation 300.502B1, it says a parent has a right to an independent education evaluation at public expense if the parent disagrees with an evaluation. That's a precondition. That's a, one of the judges mentioned a triggering thing. So the parent doesn't have a request to a right to an IEE unless they meet that precondition. In the 2019 decision, the parent was using their IEE request as a bargaining chip. They said, okay, we'll drop this if you give us my child the extra reading services over the summer. The district did provide those extra reading services over the summer. So MDE determined in the 2019 case that it didn't meet the precondition, that there wasn't a disagreement with the prior evaluation.
But
that
why
they didn't
shouldn't
meet the triggering option? So that's the different fact.
Why shouldn't the same thing have happened here, where it seems to me the thing the school district disputes is whether or not there is a disagreement with the first evaluation or whether the parents are wanting a reevaluation? So why isn't this that the exact procedure that should occur happened, in that the parents brought to MDE evaluate whether or not there is a disagreement here as the precondition? And if MDE says, yes, parents disagree with that evaluation, that then puts it into the B2 category, where the school district either needs to do the due process hearing or do the IEE. Because it seems to me in reading B2 that the school district doesn't have any method for evaluating disagreement or statute of limitations within the scope of the due process hearing that's articulated in 2.1.
In this present case, in this investigation for this matter that's before the court. The parent's written communication to the district was clear, along with the other communication, both to the district, from its counsel, and to the MDE. It was clear. It was disagreeing with the earlier evaluation. So there's no evidence in this case that the parents were being untruthful here. Based on the plain language that the parents request, we learned we have concerns and we don't think the prior evaluation, so we want an IE. There's no indication here this was used at the bargaining chip. There's no indication. All the indication here, based on all the written communication, showed that the parents made the request, and there's no evidence that the parents were being untruthful.
It was plain on its face. Isn't that appellant's point with regard to the investigation that MDE, just because the buzzword disagree was used, that ended MDE's investigation and they didn't actually inquire into whether or not there was a disagreement with the prior assessment or if parents were really seeking to have a new evaluation, and that in this circumstance, it's incumbent upon MDE to do that investigation because the school district isn't allowed under the law to actually investigate that question, and MDE is.
MDE did review that matter because, as was discussed in the plain face of the regulation, there needs to be a disagreement. As I said, the multiple communications here, plain on the face that they disagreed with the earlier evaluation, and in light of what was happening in the prior year with their son, that evaluation perhaps wasn't as complete or good as it should be. So
would you point me?
MDE, there is multiple written documentation, communication to the district, communication to MDE, and nothing showed that the parents were being untruthful. So there's substantial evidence in the record that supports the MDE's finding that the parent did meet the condition preceding and would have a right to ask for an IEE.
So where would you point me to in the record to learn what the reasons for the disagreement were?
As the court pointed out in the prior argument, the regulation does allow school districts to inquire, but they cannot base their decision or reject it based on the parent's reason. So you can inquire here.
But MDE can inquire, correct?
Parents have that right to ask for this.
But MDE can inquire, right?
If it felt that there was an investigatory need to do it. There's nothing that the MDE does have broad investigatory powers. It has broad investigatory powers as to who and when and whether or not interviews are warranted. Here,
and so why didn't
it did not feel the need to do so because all that's it does not require an inquiry to where the parent really disagreed or why they disagreed. The plain language of the statute is a parent has a right for an evaluation at public expense if the parent disagreed. In plain words of the written correspondent. And so the department looked at it and determined they did meet the condition preceding, and they did, there was that disagreement. Parents have that right.
Ms. Casterly, I'm still trying to understand the distinction between, I think the phrase was used in the 2019 case of a bargaining chip, and it strikes me as a fair inference in circumstances like our case where you have this many months later and then all of a sudden there's counsel involved and I'm demanding an IEE because I disagree. And so there seems like a lot of moving parts here and a lot of changes with the child that at a minimum would require on-site investigation to do what you did in the previous case to see, is there really a difference or is there a mistrust of the school district? But none of that seemed to occur. And I'm just wondering how different this really is from the 2019 when the district had to make a the department had to make a judgment that it was used as a bargaining chip. And I assume a lot of times, of course, I want to disagree because the rule allows me to. That gives me some bargaining, but that would be true in all the cases. And so it does trouble me, too, that there was a lack of actual detailed investigation to say what's the disagreement so that you can balance that off to what the district was proposing.
In this case here, the facts are critical. And every state complaint decision is very factual intensive. MDE did not cite its earlier complaint decision because they are so factual driven. They never cite them prior. They do cite this court's decision. They do cite federal court decisions and opinion, but they do not cite earlier decision because everything is so factual driven. In this particular case, the evaluation was done in 2022. The IEP meeting was done in January of 2022. A year goes by. In 2023, by my count, there were 4 or 5 IEP meetings that misbehaviors of the students were escalating. So what the district did here was kept scheduling IEP meetings. They scheduled one in January, they scheduled one in May, they scheduled one in November, they scheduled one in January. They kept scheduling IEP meetings to keep tweaking the plan. But they never once, not once in this case, suggested a reevaluation. So in January of 2024, another IEP meeting is here, and the parent And on February 4th, 2024, the district proposes, the 5th or 6th IEP. Again, not once ever suggesting a reevaluation, not once ever suggesting there were a change of circumstances. Instead, and then the parent says a week or so later, February of 2024, something's wrong with that earlier evaluation because the issues are continuing. So I think there might be something wrong with that evaluation, and I disagree with it and request an IEE. The district did not respond with a reevaluation until afterward, 6 days later. And so it's easy to confuse this case with many other cases like the Shakopee and most of their reported decision, where what happens is the district says, let's do a reevaluation. Parent says, you know what? No, I want an IEE. That's a totally different factual situation because it's in response to the reevaluation. Here, the parent brought up the IEE first and saying, we keep having these meetings and something's wrong with the evaluation. And so the district then for the first time said, let's do a reevaluation. And now it's insisting on it. And now says, you know what? Too much time has passed. Well, and it says change circumstances. It never said that the prior year. So based on the facts in this case, and again, that's the thing with state complaint decisions are so factually determinative. And in this case, the parent on his own, as he said, it was at the end of a long email, but they clearly said, we disagree with the earlier evaluation and we learned we have this right and we want to exercise this right. And so that's, the parents have that right. Now, if the district disagrees with that and the district thinks that they're not entitled to it, then they have that second option to go for a due process hearing.
Where in the provision would you say that is what can be investigated in the due process hearing? Because B2I says that the due process request, you can request a hearing to show that its evaluation is appropriate. It doesn't say that you can request a due process hearing to determine if the statute of limitations is run. It doesn't say you can request a due process hearing to determine whether or not the parents actually disagree with the prior evaluation. So under your strict reading of the statute, how and when would the school district ever inquire as to those matters?
The answer is there are other provisions in the IDEA, in the regulation, and under Minnesota Statute 125A.091, Subdivision 12, that gives administrative law judges in the Minnesota Office of Administrative Hearing the authority to look at these issues. They have the authority to look at evaluations. They have the authority to whether or not FAPE is provided, which is whether or not the procedural requirements. And the district, in this case, they never mention it in their brief. They file for a due process hearing in this case. And if you look at the record, if you look at their due process complaint that they filed in Delano, which is on page 174, and I believe it's exhibit 26, is due process complaint signed by Mr. Walsberger here. And on page 14 of the complaint, page 174, these are the issues that they're asking to be heard in this case. Number one, what is the statute of limitations? Number two, may a parent ask for an IEE in light of NDS? Number three, whether the district appropriately responded to the parent's IE. So the district itself admits that it can bring these issues to a due process hearing. For reasons that have not yet been explained, a week later they dropped their due process hearing request. But these legal issues could have been handled in a summary disposition before in a due process hearing, just like they were done in NDS. So yes, they can bring it, and they've acknowledged that they can bring those issues in there because other statutes so provide it. The important thing here, and so it was important to lay out the facts to understand why in this context the parent asked for an IEE and the department's decision that said, you know, district, you need to follow the plain language of the IDEA regulation and either provide the IEE at public expense, or if you disagreed with it, which they did earlier, but they didn't complete it, then request for a review of all those issues on the merit before the due process hearing, then it can be handled like it was handled under NDS.
So, Ms. Casserly, I appreciate the detailed recitation of the facts, but counsel for the school district argues that presented a different version of the facts in arguing that this was really request was really made as a bargaining chip, that there wasn't a valid disagreement. Can you address that argument?
Sure.
Counsel for the school district said this case is really comparable to the 2019 case, and there was a factually similar scenario.
I think in the 2019 decision, MDE reviewed it. They copied right from the written correspondence, so it was based on the written correspondence, and it said, there, we will drop it if you will do this.
But in this case, there was a long letter addressing some other circumstances, and then there was the request for the IEE. Explain why the department didn't need to do further investigation into whether or not that was a legitimate disagreement, given the framework that it was requested in the context of that long letter.
Sure. The department reviewed the subsequent correspondence, and they're laid out, I believe, in my summary of the facts, where the district responded, you know what, you're not entitled to this, but we'll give you a reevaluation. We'll start over. The parents said, no, I don't think so. The attorney then subsequently responded and said, no, there's a disagreement with the earlier one. The written correspondence was consistent both to the district and to MDE that they were disagreeing with the earlier evaluation. There's nothing that indicated that was untrue. And here, substantial evidence in the record supports MDE's determination that there was a disagreement. Again, if the district wanted to fight about that point like they did in NDS, then you can review that also. They also had the right to have that looked at a due process hearing, but they
Ms.
chose
Casserly,
not to finish pursuing that.
the email or correspondence, I can't remember which form of correspondence from the attorney for the parents, says parents do not seek an IEE to determine whether the district's evaluation was appropriate at the time it was completed. Isn't that the very opposite of saying I disagree with it? We don't, and I know they realize they say it missed the boat, so in that sense they disagreed with everything, but two things about that. One, that seems to suggest that, that it goes contrary to the purpose of an IEE, which is to respond to a prior evaluation. And number two, that's also a concession that we're going to do any reevaluation via an IEE, which also seems contrary to the purpose. How am I understanding that incorrectly?
I think then there were letters between counsel and the parents' counsel arguing about kind of what's the issue in the first case. You know, what's the IE going to cover? But MDE didn't rule on that case. MDE just said, it looks like the evidence here is consistent. Preponderance of the evidence is that there was a disagreement and the district needs to follow the dictates of the IDEA. A disagreement over what the IEE is going to cover wasn't addressed in the system, what was addressed in the MDE case. Again, the district, the department reviewed the consistent correspondence and determined that a letter from an attorney arguing about what the IEE is going to cover, that gets into a separate subdivision here. The first issue is there a disagreement? And there was a disagreement consistently by this parent. And they wanted to fight it. If they wanted to get into the merits of all that, they had an option. They had under B. They could go to a due process hearing for summary disposition. We saw what happened in NDS. The district there was successful. But whatever reason, they chose not to pursue that route. But here, for purposes of the investigation, based on the consistent correspondence from the parents, there was a disagreement. The quote that you've got is dealing with, you know, what the IEE is going to cover, and that's a separate issue.
I have a question for you about the statute of limitations. Explain why it is not incongruous to apply a 2-year statute of limitations to a request for a due process hearing, but not apply that same statute of limitations to a parent's request for an IEE.
The department's decision did not make a decision on the statute of limitations. If you read the department's decision, kind of a paragraph of citations, and it says, well, Trumbull, which is a reported circuit decision, says it's this amount of time. It cites NDS. Again, it does cite the law, just because the facts are different, it's going to apply differently. And they cite a number of decisions. MDE did not decide the statute of limitation in its decision.
So you don't think that issue is appropriately before us?
I don't know that it is. The district denied the parents' request for an IE for two reasons, claiming there wasn't a real disagreement, or disagreement wasn't a disagreement enough. And number two, the statute of limitation. The department decision held that it did meet the condition precedent. There is substantial evidence in the record to support that there was a disagreement with the IEE in light of the facts in this case. And then it talks about what the different timelines for statute of limitations is, and said you should follow the law, which is clear. Either you provide the IEE at public expense or you refer it over for due process hearing. I also refer the court to, which is something that's never addressed by the district here, but section 300.502E2 says a district cannot have a criteria, cannot impose conditions or timelines related to obtaining an IEE. And in the brief, I argued that here The district said you can't have it for two reasons. There isn't a real disagreement, and number two, you're past the 2 years in NDS, which actually they said it incorrectly. It's from when the parent knew or should have known. But I refer the court and argued in the brief that actually, by the way, you're not, a district is not supposed to put timelines as a condition. And so I argued here that they did put a timeline here in violation of Section E2. They should bring it to the public, to the Office of Administrative Hearings, and it, like it did in NDS, can make the determination to what the statute what the statute of limitations is.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions?
No.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon again. I'll try to be brief. First, there is a claim that the district just kept meeting and meeting and didn't do anything as these needs were changing and therefore can't turn around now and claim that it needs to do a reevaluation. That's simply contrary to the evidence of record. In January 2022, when that evaluation was completed, the record shows that the student demonstrated needs related to remaining on task, work completion, and moderate impulsivity, and his behavior plan focused on study skills. In May of 2023, when the student was in eighth grade, the IEP team documented that students' previously identified target behaviors had changed and increased. They sent the family a prior written notice stating that the behaviors differ from those seen in the past, and the district proposed then not to do nothing, but to do an FBA in the fall, which it did then do. By the way, which is an item that's very much ignored in this case, I'm going to talk about why that matters. The district then completed a standalone FBA documenting the significant increase in target behaviors and the addition of new target behaviors, record 345. The new behaviors, student was not only engaging in inappropriate use of technology, but also inappropriate use of property, elopement, inappropriate language, trespassing, noncompliance, and inappropriate behavior toward peers. So why doesn't the district immediately do a full-scale evaluation? It's taking steps and working collaboratively with the parent as the idea envisions. It's meeting with the parents. It's getting input from them. It does an FBA. And I think it's remarkable that we just leapfrog back over that FBA and forget about it. One of the IEEs the parents obtained here was an FBA. But they don't look at the FBA that was done in 2023. They go back to the FBA that was done in 2022. And I think that that shows the absurdity of what can happen with the MDE's position. I want to talk about what does disagreement mean? Disagreement must mean the parents assert the evaluation was incorrect at the time it was completed. If that's not what it means, then nothing would prevent the parent of a 10th grade student from requesting an IEE because they disagree with an evaluation that was completed in kindergarten. Nothing would prevent that. There's no time, there's no connection to purpose of an IEE. And on top of that, I'd say nearly every agency in court that's considered the question, other than the present staff at MDE, has determined that a parent does not disagree with a past evaluation by contending it's no longer accurate. And that's also in NDS. Context matters. And one of the things I'd ask the court to look at, and you touched upon this earlier, Your Honor, is the parents agreed to three IEPs that were based on that January 2022 evaluation. Would they have done that if they disagreed with that evaluation? Then they agree to an FBA. Then they agree passively to the next IEP that goes into effect right before they request an evaluation, right before they get an attorney. And now suddenly they ask for an IEE. That doesn't make any sense when we look at context. I want to mention just briefly, and then I'll be done, that there was this statement that the district requested a hearing and then dropped it. And why did it do that? I want this court to know why we did that. The investigator called the director of special education. The investigator from the MDE said that, quote, the parents were wasting their money because the MDE applies NDS. When we learned of that, we initially went to the ALJ because we wanted a fair shake. When we learned of that, we said, okay, this is a more cost-effective means. We'll give it a chance. We'll see and presume that the MDE is going to apply NDS. And then, of course, it did not do that.
So I have a question about the due process hearing before an ALJ. Would you agree you can reach raise statute of limitations issues before an ALJ?
Yeah, I would certainly try, and I did in this case.
And it's been done before and addressed before.
It has been done before. My point, Your Honor, though, is that the MDE's position is that's not one of the two things you can do. You can either request or pay for the IEE, or you can defend your evaluation. That's their strict, hyper-rigid interpretation. And that's part of the problem. It doesn't allow for all these other things that matter. And I said at the outset, it doesn't account for the statute of limitations. What do we do? If we apply this hyper-rigid interpretation, then we couldn't come forward with the statute of limitations. But I certainly would take the position I'm going to try and present that to an administrative law judge. And it has been done before in summary disposition, and specifically in the NDS case and then the Shakopee case.
Well, is one way to defend it to say that to raise a statute of limitations issue?
So that goes back to my point.
I mean, one could argue that that is a defense of it.
Sure. So again, I'm a defendant. I file a lawsuit, and then I move to dismiss my lawsuit based on the statute of limitations and ask for an advisory opinion.
Well, it's a little different here because we're under an administrative framework under the rules. So I'm not sure the analogy is exactly, you know, on all fours.
So we're going to pay the cost to do that when OSEP says we don't have to. The agency that governs the MDE says we don't have to. We're going to pay the cost to request a hearing and have it dismissed. Or we're going to pay, in this case, we're going to pay $15,600 for an IEE. So we're caught in this thing of paying for resources, using scarce resources, when we otherwise wouldn't have to. And OSEP says you don't have to request a hearing under these circumstances. And that's why we didn't do that. I just want just 1 second, if I could, briefly. There was this claim at the end that the MDE says we can't insert criteria like a timeline. I think they're referring to the statute of limitations. That appears nowhere in the MDE's decision. That's a new after-the-fact try-to-claim-something-new argument that is nowhere in its decision.
With that, all right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your argument as well as the argument from counsel for the department. The arguments here today were very helpful. We will obviously look very closely at the issues in this case and issue our opinion within the statutory time frame. Thank you. All right. I'll just note that that completes our calendar for today, and we are adjourned.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.